Project we have been talking about for a few days now is called The Shadow and the Substance. And we have been looking at the tabernacle of Moses as a copy, a shadow, and a pattern, and taking each piece of furniture that is associated with the tabernacle of Moses and aligning it with aspects of our lives so that we can be the substance of Christ on the earth. So we looked at the brazen altar and looked at the substance of our marriage, because the brazen altar is about sacrifice and submission. We looked at the at the brazen laver, which is about being washed in the word, and spoke about a clean lifestyle that must be lived on the earth. Then we looked at the lampstand. The lampstand gave light in the holy place, and the lampstand is about the light that is in our eye, and this determines how we manage money. And yesterday we, or the day before, yesterday, sorry, we spoke about the table of showbread. The table of showbread is about the level of fellowship and relationships that we have in our lives, and each of them must carry a specific substance. So this morning we're going to talk about the altar of incense, the altar of incense. So the design for the altar of incense was given in the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 1 to 10. And Moses was reiterating to those that were the artisans that would make the altar and gave them the specific designs regarding that. I will not read all the scriptures because of time. In Exodus 30, verse 34 to 38, you will also read of a very specific incense that was made according to the art of apothecary, which is the perfumer. And this incense was used specifically by the priest when he would go in to change the wicks and replace the oil in the lampstand. He would also put this incense on coals of fire on the altar of incense. And the coals of fire on the altar of incense was actually taken from the brazen laver. So it came from the altar of sacrifice onto the altar of incense. Incense or aroma or fragrance cannot be offered without sacrifice. So Exodus 30, verse 34 to 38, gives you the different spices that were used, and I'll allude to that just now. Now, just some background information regarding the tabernacle and its rather the altar of incense and its design. Firstly, it was the highest piece of furniture in the holy place. It was made of a very specific wood, which was called shittim wood. It was overlaid with gold. It had two rings. It had two rods. Excuse me. It had one crown, and it had four horns. In fact, when the priest would go once a year to make atonement for the nation, he would take blood from the altar of sacrifice, and he will also put the blood on the four horns of the altar of incense. Now, when you take that and you align it with Jesus Christ, this is how you need to picture it. When you look at the lampstand in the holy place, the lampstand is a ministry to sinners because we have to be light to them. The table of showbread is ministry to the saints because we fellowship with the saints and we minister to one another in songs, hymns, spiritual songs, encouragement, etc. It's ministry to the saints around fellowship. But when you look at the altar of incense, it is ministry unto the Lord. Although all ministry that we do is unto the Lord, but the altar of incense is very specific in that the incense was offered as an aroma and its ministry to the Lord. So when you take it and you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, you would find that the altar of incense is a symbolizes the priesthood of Jesus Christ after the order of Melchizedek, or a high priestly order. So let me break it down for you in a way that you can understand. Firstly, it was the highest piece of furniture in the most holy place, or the holy place, and Jesus Christ is our high priest. Hebrews 5:5 will tell you that he himself did not glorify himself to become the high priest, but it is he who said, "You are my son, I have begotten you," after the order of Melchizedek. The rings that are on the altar of incense symbolize an everlasting priesthood, And Jesus Christ is after the order of Melchizedek, and it's an unchangeable, eternal priesthood. Hebrews 7, verse 24. He continues forever as an unchangeable priesthood. There were two rods that went through the rings, and these two rods symbolize the Melchizedek order of the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace. Hebrews 7, verse 1 to 2. For this Melchizedek, King of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, is also known as the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace. The crown that is on the altar of incense symbolizes Melchizedek as king, and we know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings. The wood that was used to make the altar was covered with gold, and it symbolizes Jesus' humanity and Jesus' deity or divinity, that he was the Son of Man and he was the Son of God. The four horns on the altar speak of Jesus' authority as mediator, as priest, as advocate, and as intercessor. Time will not permit me to break all of this down. It will take a long time to do that. And the five components, which I will get into just now, that make up the incense, each of them are very specific. But remember that five is the number of grace, and Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. So what you can see is that all aspects of the altar of incense point to a priesthood that is ministry unto the Lord, and it is according to the order of Melchizedek, which is represented by Jesus Christ. But the substance of that, that which is now living in us, Christ in us, the hope of God, glory, in him we live and move and have our being. So the substance of that, which we know from the Old Testament as the shadow that has come into the substance of the New Testament as the Melchizedek order of priesthood, must now be seen in us as the saints of God, because we are called the royal priesthood of God. So the smoke of the incense that would rise from that altar would go into the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was, and this represented true worship that must be in our lives that goes as an aroma to God. Now, much of our definition around worship is predominantly around singing and around praise and around worship in terms of song. And yes, that is part of our lives. This is what we do to exalt God, whether it's in music or whether it's in song, whichever way we do it, it is part of our lives because we are commanded to do that. But more importantly, the substance is that you become the song that you sing. You become the very essence of the words that you utter unto God. And this is what becomes worship to God. And everything we do in word and deed is to the glory and to the name of our God. Colossians 3 verse 16 and 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, even if you sing or even if you do actions or works, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God our Father. So worship and service unto God is highlighted in the altar of incense that must be the very essence of our lives. Matthew 4 verse 8, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, and when the devil took him up onto the mountain and showed him all the great kingdoms of the earth, and he said, "You must bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written," and he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse number 13, when he says, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and only him," or "him only, you shall serve." So you must view worship not just from the perspective of song and music, but also from the perspective of serving or serving the Lord. Because immediately after this encounter, when Jesus encounters Satan, the Bible says he goes now and he begins his ministry. And what was the ministry? Matthew 4:17 tells us, from that time, immediately after this encounter and after this statement, he began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus began to preach and to demonstrate the kingdom of God. So our true service and worship to God is to preach and to demonstrate the kingdom of God through serving. This is why Matthew 20, Jesus highlights very importantly to his disciples. He says, "Listen, if you want to be great, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first, let him be your slave. Because the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And this is how he served. He gave his life as a ransom for many. Now, the coals of fire that lit the altar of incense were taken from the brazen laver or the altar of sacrifice. And so when the incense was put onto those coals, then the incense began to rise and a fragrance and an aroma began to fill the holy place and the most holy place. So true service, or true worship rather, is service to God that is characterized by sacrifice. Now, when you take the components, there are five components that made up the incense, and they are very important because they allude to the kind of service and worship that we give to God. Firstly, the first component was called frankincense. And frankincense is a picture of the prayer and intercessory life that we should have unto God. And in the life of the believer, prayer and intercession must be a daily part of our lives. Now, when you look at frankincense, it was expensive, it was white in color, it was stripped from the tree, and it was used as an antidote for poison. And all of this points to the nature in the believer, that we as believers have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We are valuable in the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus shed his precious blood for us. Prayer is an antidote against sin. And stripped means that we pray in humility and brokenness and humbleness. So when we talk about the altar of incense, one that includes worship and service to the Lord, our prayer life, our intercessory life must be one that shows forth a frankincense nature of prayer and intercession unto the Lord. Now, there's a grace to pray. Let me say that to you. And there are people that are given to prayer, and their lives are given to prayer. It's a ministry. But as part of being the royal priesthood, all of us are called to pray and intercede on behalf of others. The second component was called stacte, S-T-A-C-T-E. And the word stacte means to distill, when you purify something and you distill it. Now, it points to our praise, but it points to our praise with the careful selections of words. Listen to the wisdom of Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1 to 2. It says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they do evil. Listen to the words. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. All of us will remember how Jephthah made a hasty selection of words before God. He said, Lord, whatever comes out of my house, I will offer it first to you. And his daughter came out of the house. And this is because he did not consider his words. He did not distill his words. He did not think about the effect of his words. So when we praise God, it is important not to give the sacrifice of fools, but to not be rash, but to think carefully about the words that we use. Even when Job was facing very challenging times in his life, the Bible will tell you that in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He was careful what to say. His wife even encouraged him to say to him, you are suffering so much, why don't you just curse God and die? But he was careful to choose his words. The third component of the incense was called galbanum. And it was the gum of the plant that is used to drive away insects. It had a specific smell, and therefore it would drive away insects. And you got to know in your life how to drive away the birds of the air, as Abraham did. How to build a wall around yourself. How to ensure that you are in a safe location. You have to know that your tithe and your offering drives away the devourer. And there are certain principles that you have to hold on to ensure that the devourer doesn't enter your life. Galbanum was used to honor the Lord in incense. And the Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance, with your first fruit and all your increase. The next component of the incense was called onycha. And this was an aromatic mussel that was found in the Red Sea, and it gave its life for fragrance in the incense. This is called a picture of self-sacrifice and good works. Remember, we are the salt of the earth. We are called to be a living sacrifice unto God. But salt, if it is, rather, we are called to make sacrifices and to ensure that our life is an aroma unto the Lord. The last component was salt. Did I cover all? Yes. The last component was salt. Now, we are called the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its flavor, where can it be salted? Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, it's of no use. Now, when you put too much salt, everyone notices. When you put too little salt, everyone notices. But when the correct amount of salt is there, no one notices, no one complains, or no one notices. You see, you must be able to make the difference without being noticed. This is called hiding yourself. This is called the secret. Whatever we do in secret, God would reward us openly. So these five components point to the substance of the royal priesthood that we are called to be unto the Father. And it is all seen in the altar of incense. We are the Melchizedek priesthood that must reflect the frankincense, that must reflect the stacte, that must reflect the onycha, that must reflect the galbanum, and must reflect the salt. Remember that we are the substance of Christ, and the only way that the world can see it is when we become the incense of ministry unto the Lord. Whatever you do in word and deed, do it unto the Lord. The Lord bless and keep you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. Amen.